Hello and welcome to the EVA India Insights podcast. I'm your host Pallavi, and today we are diving into a topic that's gaining massive momentum, India's outbound direct investments, and how Indian multinational enterprises are rethinking their global strategies in a rapidly evolving world. To help us unpack the latest trends and insights, I'm joined by Vaibhav Luthra, tax partner at EVA India, who actively focuses on outbound investments for Indian headquartered groups. And also he will walk us through key findings from our July 2025 report, India Abroad, Navigating the Global Landscape for Overseas Investment. Vaibhav, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Pallavi. Great to be here and excited to discuss this timely topic.
Thank you. To begin with, Vaibhav, India's outbound investments have surged by over 67% in FY 2024 to 2025. So according to you, what are the key drivers behind this growth, and how are Indian MNEs reshaping their global investment strategies in response to this shifting geopolitical and economic dynamics?
Absolutely, Pallavi. I think the numbers are remarkable. We saw ODI jumped from around 25 billion to around 42 billion. And it reflects a strategic transformation. So I think there are three forces which are driving this. First, because of what's happening in geopolitics and the realignment, it is pushing Indian companies to look for newer markets and diversify there. So of course, markets in Southeast Asia, Africa and Middle East offer some of them these benefits and markets where they can go. Second is, of course, energy transition. From the fact that India is dependent upon imports for meeting its energy requirements, Indian firms are making significant bets globally. Be it solar projects in Africa, lithium extraction in South America, they are securing supply chains for India's clean energy future. And third, of course, is the market access. And we are hearing about the tariff discussions in US, which is iterating probably almost every day now. The good part is the India-UK FTA got concluded. So basis that, our Indian headquartered companies are positioned to leverage this preferential access. And I would just say that they are not just responding to global developments. They are rather reshaping their footprint to be more resilient and future ready.
Thank you, Vaibhav. Now, we're seeing a clear movement away from the traditional jurisdictions like Mauritius and Singapore towards the newer options like the UAE, Luxembourg and Switzerland. So what's really prompting this shift, and how are tax efficiencies, regulatory changes and ESG priorities sort of influencing these decisions?
Again, great observation. I would just say that some of the factors which are driving this are being in the last decade or so, if you observe traditionally jurisdictions like Mauritius, Singapore, Cyprus, they used to offer tax advantages. But that have been, kind of plugged because of treaty revisions. And also, I think the pressure has come in from the international tax authorities, communities in terms of substance. And substance is playing actually a very, very important role, which has been one of the key pillar out of the BEPS project, which was taken by OECD a few years back. So with regard to substance, and of course now ESG considerations have also come in. So the Indian headquartered groups are actually looking at jurisdictions which can offer them these commercial, regulatory, tax advantages, but at the same time, it should be offering them some kind of framework where they can also meet these ESG consideration as well as substance, so that the structures are foolproof.
Thank you, Vaibhav. Another interesting trend that we've noticed is that the GIFT City is emerging as the strongest contender for holding in treasury operations. So what strategic advantages does it offer for Indian companies, and how does it compare with the offshore hubs in terms of cost, compliance, and operational flexibility?
I would say GIFT City is a genuine game changer. I think when this whole concept came in, the idea was to really look at the financial insurance and the groups for treasury operations. As we see the expansion in terms of the activities for which the companies can be set up, I think it really is giving benefits for Indian headquartered groups. Because what's unique is that companies can maintain their place of effective management in India while continuing to enjoy same benefits as may be offered by some of the foreign jurisdictions. And which has been one of the key concerns, because place of effective management has been a concern for number of Indian headquartered groups, especially in recent years. So as this GIFT City offers them a 10-year tax holiday, it's obviously business friendly. So from a cost compliance standpoint, you don't need to have a separate setup outside of India. You can maintain this setup here itself. So which means reduce complexity, faster decision making while being in India. So this is offering them a real advantage in terms of being future ready. And I would just say that it aligns with evolving global standards on substance and transparency.
Thank you, Vaibhav. And finally, what are the top strategic considerations that Indian MNEs should bear in mind while structuring their outbound investments in this evolving global environment?
Again, excellent question, Pallavi. I would like to highlight a few considerations. So usually what we have observed is when a structure is set up, there are certain assumptions that go into setting up a structure. But usually after 2 or 3 years, no one really goes back and check whether those assumptions which were being taken as underlying, whether they are being followed in real or not. So first and foremost, it becomes a periodic review of the structures, which is whether the assumptions which it was being set up, are they being followed or not. Second, of course, we discuss on the substance that it's an evolving concept. Jurisdictions are introducing measure to ensure that we continue to meet those requirements. So that again is non-negotiable. So that also needs to be retested on a periodic basis. Third is on the diversification of supply chain. Of course, developments like revised US tariffs, India-UK free trade agreement, that creates opportunity, no doubt on that. But at the same time, companies should consider its impact on the supply chains, whether it's indirect taxes or the incentives. Last, I would say it's the ESG consideration with especially EU introducing measures to probably making an attempt to have an attack on foreign MNCs doing operations in EU, whether it's steel companies, aluminium, or cement. I think these factors would also need to be embedded in investment decisions. So I would just say that the success in this new global order will be for those who will move early, who will build adaptable structures and treat compliance as a catalyst and not as a constraint.
Thank you, Vaibhav. Thank you so much for sparing your time and sharing those incredibly insightful perspectives and breaking this down so clearly to our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pallavi, for having me.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to dive deeper into the insights or download the report, please do visit our website at ey.com/in or check the link in the episode description. Until next time, this is Pallavi signing off.